8:02 the time on the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to the program. Delighted that you're here. Well, you know, over the last several months, nothing can be more erratic than the economy that we've been looking at. And to help us calm these nerves, we bring on Wealthwise Financial's President and CEO, Laureen Gilbert, this morning. Thank you for being here, Laureen. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
Good.
Thank you. Lots
of things have happened since the last time we spoke, and we're expecting an incredibly busy week after you and I speak. I do want to get to the Federal Reserve, though, having announced yesterday that its lending programs will be extended until the end of the year. A couple of questions here. Is it a sign, do you think, that the central bank doesn't think the U.S. economy has weathered the pandemic yet, that we're not out of it by any means economically? And would it be wiser to extend it, if you're going to, through March or April?
Well, what the Fed had said, it's a great question, Ed. What the Fed had said in March, when this whole pandemic came to light and we started having to shut everything down, they said we will reevaluate in July. Okay. So here we are, End of July, they're reevaluating. And what is clear is that it is going to take a lot longer than they immediately thought. I mean, remember, there was a time when we thought we might be shut down for 2 weeks. And of course, that's been extended tremendously. And then as we tried to restart the economy, then things have had to shut down again in a lot of ways. So it's not surprising that the Fed is saying, let's extend that date through the end of the year. I think it's a wise move to not extend it too long, because remember, there is the other side of this once we're out of this pandemic, and that is that the after effects of both the monetary and the fiscal stimulus that's come into play, and we're all going to have to pay for that on the other side. So all of this is costing, not only the government, but remember what funds the government, it's the people like you and me and everybody else through our tax system that ends up paying for any kind of government program. So it is wise to take it through the end of the year and then reevaluate it again. So certainly the Fed believes we are not out of the woods yet. That is clear. What they've also made clear is they need the fiscal side of it to take place. And as you know, that's in negotiations right now for the next round of support.
So the Fed's two-day monetary policy meeting got underway yesterday. Mm-hmm. It ends today. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting to hear from Chairman Jerome Powell today?
I don't expect to hear anything really different or unique. We might hear more. So the baseline is, we don't expect any changes on rates. They've made that clear, very transparent.
Right.
What they've been talking about and thinking about is this idea of yield curve control or yield curve management.
Okay.
And that would be another tool in the toolbox. And yet, just like not wanting to go into the negative rates, which I think we'll continue to hear that, the Fed doesn't want us to go into a negative rate situation.
Right.
Controlling the yield curve is another somewhat unprecedented move. So we'll see if they start to talk more about that. There's been that somewhat on the short end of the curve, but what the new talk is, do they move it now and peg the 10-year as well? So, we'll see if they say anything about that. So that would be what I'd say to listeners is listen for any talk about yield curve control.
Okay. They're having to get creative, and it's a lot like a guy with that pole on the high wire that you're just trying to stay on that wire.
And try to figure it out without falling.
Right,
it's a good analogy.
Kodak. I'd wished I'd invested in Kodak some time ago. Their stock just leaped through the ceiling. They got a $765 million loan from the government to produce chemicals for generic drugs, but not reagents for testing kits. Is that a wasted opportunity?
So let's back up on Kodak. Kodak is the great American story in a lot of ways, and a lot of lessons to learn for people and investors about Kodak. So Kodak used to be a darling on Wall Street and part of the Nifty 50, and then went into bankruptcy courts, I think it was 2012 or so. And so what what took them down is not being forward thinking. And they got stuck in their business model of the past, and they never were able to kind of keep up with technology and everything that had come to play. Now they're trying to reinvent themselves with this idea of drug production in the United States and producing generic drugs, which is great, which is what America needs. Right. So that's why I say, well, wow, what a great American story to come from, you know, the top of their game to bankruptcy to now trying to reinvent themselves. And only in America can you really do something like that. It's a great, great story. So let's see if they are successful in reinventing themselves, and a great use of government dollars to be able to leverage it in a positive way that would help all Americans with drugs that are manufactured here in the United States. So let's see how that turns out.
Right. We've had, for the last several years, we've had a huge dependence on foreign drug makers, and this would be fantastic. But wouldn't you, if you had given them $765 million, wouldn't you say, hey, how about working on some reagents for testing kits? Shouldn't that be part of the deal?
Not really. I mean, no. The government loaning money to a corporation is not also doing it to dictate exactly what's done. They had the parameters. By the way, this is the first time this has been done under that Defense Act.
The Defense Production Act, yeah.
Defense Production, thank you.
Which is why I asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there will probably be other loans specifically for that. And I'm sure there were negotiations. I think what Kodak probably said, look, this is what we're able to do. There's probably other companies that are better suited for producing those tests. So I'm in line with your thinking, Ed. I think you're right that other monies could be lent to companies to do just that. And it's a loan. Right. It's not a grant. Right. And they have to pay it back. They've got 25 years to pay it back. So to your point, I would expect to see other loans of this sort specifically for testing.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Tomorrow brings the first look at second quarter gross domestic product to broadcast the measure of the economy. What are you expecting tomorrow?
I'm expecting a huge decline like we've never seen before. Okay. Probably around 30-35% negative GDP for the second quarter. And let's just put that in context.
Okay.
The worst of the Great Recession of the quarter we saw was negative 8.4.
Wow.
And in 1958, we saw negative 10%. We have never in our lifetimes seen a negative 35% number. So significant, but what else can you expect when you completely shut down the entire United States? So it's going to be the worst we've ever seen, and we'll see how the markets react to it. I think, you know, the markets so far have been looking beyond that quarter as it continues to, you know, say we're going to get out of this.
Right. They've pretty much just settled into the fact, okay, it's going to be bad, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Exactly.
Now, this afternoon, CEOs of four of the biggest tech giants that go in front of the House Judiciary Committee for antitrust. They're just too big. And the question's going to be asked 100 times, are they doing more harm than good? Ma Bell, we broke up Ma Bell a few decades ago. Can you break up these companies like Ma Bell? Is it still can you do that?
You could do that. I think what's going to be interesting to see is, will it be like Ma Bell or will it be like Microsoft? So, you know, Gates went before Congress 22 years ago, and he did such a good job of selling Congress on, you know, what he said, that Microsoft wasn't broken up. So now let's see if these tech giants are able to persuade this committee to leave them alone, or if we're going to see more regulations. But what investors and listeners need to remember is more regulations means that will hurt those companies. Now, sometimes regulations we know are necessary. There are some regulations that are necessary, and it's that fine balance between providing enough regulation so that there aren't monopolies and the small players have a chance, and overregulation, which in fact can damage not only the companies, but investors' prospects as far as, you know, investing in those companies. So definitely a fine line. We'll see how good of a job that these CEOs do in talking to Congress about. In other words, their story is going to be, look, we have competition. We do have competition. So let's see if they're able to convince Congress that they, in fact, do have enough competition.
All right. I'm actually looking forward to racing home and watching it. I've been looking forward to that. So we'll talk next week about it, because right now it's just in negotiations. But the HEALS Act and the Senate yesterday came up with provisions that they're looking at for a $1 trillion bump to the economy and a relief aid package. And Congress, of course, 2 months ago came up with a little over a $3 trillion package. And they're going to be obviously going back and forth and negotiating, over this. Are you and I in agreement that this is going to meet somewhere in the middle?
See, you know, I think the good thing about it is there's consensus on additional PPP loans, and that helps small business. And the biggest issue, once again, is that none of us expected this to be as long as it is. And small business, you just look locally in Laguna Beach, small business is having a very difficult time. So for those business owners that have seen significant declines of 50% or more, there's going to be another round, a second round of PPP for them. And I think that that's warranted. That's great. Then the other issue, of course, as far as unemployment is concerned. So the concern is that in the last round with the $600 a week extension, you had 134% of the average wage going out. So that means many people receiving more money than if they went back to work. You don't want to incent people to stay home. So how do we keep people afloat long enough to keep going, but not so much so that when they're offered a job opportunity, they actually say no to that job opportunity? But I think what is encouraging is between some kind of extension of unemployment and checks going out to individuals and PPP loans going out to small business, I think, once again, it fills the gap for the time being. But I would say, Ed, we've got to get back to a free market economy. And frankly, we're not in one right now. We're in a socialist economy of the government sustaining people. And while that needs to happen in the shorter term, while it was mandated that everybody, you know, there'd be a shutdown, I think most Americans, not all, because certainly there's that far left that would like us to be a socialist economy. Most Americans believe in a free market capitalist society.
Right, which is where I was going last week when you and I spoke about the $600. No one wants to be unemployed. No, everyone would, mm-hmm. and you know, there's that very few, of course, that would take advantage of that situation, but everyone wants to feel the value and the worth of working for your money. So no one wants to be unemployed.
Not necessarily. I would argue with that. Let me just give you some examples.
Okay.
During the 2008 downturn, you know, I've been an employer hiring people for a long time. And during the downturn, I'll never forget, I tried to hire someone I knew, and offered her a position, and it was a good paying position, but she compared it to what she was getting with unemployment and whether it was enough of a jump. It wasn't even that it wasn't more, enough of a jump from unemployment for her to take that position. She decided not to take the position. That's one example.
Okay.
I've talked to other people in this recent, you know, issue, similar thing. People, I know we would all like to think, but when it comes down to it, and this is why we had to go through welfare reform. Welfare reform worked. It got people motivated again to go back to work. And that does make people feel good. And there is the value of working. But just the idea of going back to work oftentimes is not enough. There's got to be an impetus, a push to get people to go. And I agree, it is good. it's good for the soul. Right. We're meant to be productive people, and it does feel good to work. But when there is the government paying people in effect not to work, there's a disincentive there to go back.
So maybe it could be on a sliding scale. Let's say we start off with the 600, and then as the months move along, that amount grows less and less until it runs out, and then eventually it's a zero, and we're at the end of this, and then everyone has been financially...
The biggest problem in figuring it out has really been what can the states handle?
Right.
You know, with the Treasury wanting it to be 70%, you've heard that whole deal, and the states are going, how in the world can we actually implement this? I mean, remember when this all started happening, the states had a really hard time implementing the additional, even just getting the unemployment out and then the additional 600. So you're right, it has to be simple.
Right.
It needs to be a simple way so that the states can execute it, can actually implement it and make it happen.
I love talking to you. It's my favorite time of the week. Loreen Gilbert.
Thank you.
Loreen Gilbert is with Wealthwise Financial Services. She's the president and CEO. How do we find you? How do we contact you?
Please contact us at wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, Loreen, I'll look forward to talking to you next week. You have a fantastic week.
You as well.
Thank you so much. 8:18 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show.